You're listening to Expanding Horizons, the podcast of the Unitarian Church of South Australia, a home of progressive spirituality and free religious thought and action since 1854. The views expressed in these podcasts are those of the speaker and are not intended to represent the position of the church itself or of the worldwide Unitarian Universalist movement. For more information, visit unitariansa.org.au.
To acknowledge the Kaurna people, who are the traditional custodians of the land here, we will also pay our respect to elders past and present of Kaurna country. I draw your attention to the notice sheet. Please take the time to read through these and become familiar with upcoming events. Sometimes things are missed in the final print, but I have a notice of my own to read first. Some of you may remember Helen Rayson and her husband from Shady Grove. Helen has been a widow for 5 years, and she passed away last Sunday. The Raysons were active, regular attenders at Shady Grove. Even though she was unable to attend church for the last couple of years, she kept up her membership and died a card-carrying Unitarian. Her family are planning a private funeral. Are there any other notices? So this is about transporting the donations to Moore Street. Let Mary know if you can help out. No.
So about 15 seconds after the last newsletter went out, we had a change to the timetable, and so the person that's coming in 2 weeks' time is not currently listed, but it's Catherine House, the person, AM. So just a bit about Catherine. So she's here to talk about effective philanthropy. Catherine is the Impact 100 South Australian chairperson, the Young Impact chairperson. She's a SAMRI director, Catherine House Community Ambassador, grandparents for grandchildren. So she sort of was a nice fit for our brainstorming session we had in February. So I just thought I'd let you know that she's coming. Might be a good time to bring a friend, maybe. She's picked a beautiful story, What Do You Do With an Idea? And she lives that. She's just a beautiful person. Yeah.
Thank you, Noah. Are there any further notices? Flame, speaking to us without a single word, showing us vibrancy, hope, warmth and spirit, its centeredness centering us, its light given freely. May we share the best of ourselves as freely as this humble flame. Good morning to you all. Welcome to our service of worship. This is a service because it aims to serve you, and this is worship from worthship, because it serves you by raising to worth things that matter. My name is Aaron Pose, a member of this congregation, and I am leading the service today. I welcome you here on behalf of the generations of Unitarians who have worshipped in similar gatherings on Kaurna and Paramank land since 1854. We are a spiritual community that encourages and supports all who come to find, to fashion, and most importantly, to follow their own spiritual path. Any path that helps you to see more clearly, love more abundantly, and work toward a better world for all. We welcome you to join with us afterwards for coffee, tea, and conversation. Thank you.
that people use words to describe not using words. Enjoy. The most important thing in communication is hearing what isn't said, from Peter Drucker. The human body is the best picture of the human soul, Ludwig Wittgenstein. This is from an unknown quote. Get in touch with the way the other person feels. Feelings are 55% body language, 38% tone, and 7% words. This is a favourite of mine. I speak two languages, body and English. That was from Mae West. You can all guess who this quote's from. Fie, fie upon her. There's language in her eye, her cheek, her lip. Nay, her foot speaks. Her wanton spirits look out at every joint and motive of her body. Will Shakespeare. Deafness has left me acutely aware of both the duplicity that language is capable of and the many expressions the body cannot hide, from Terry Galloway. This is from Dale Carnegie, the famous Carnegie School, I think. There are four ways, and only four ways, in which we have contact with the world. We are evaluated and classified by those four contacts. What we do, how we look, what we say, and how we say it. And the last one from our very own Unitarian, Ralph Waldo Emerson. When the eyes say one thing and the tongue another, a practiced man relies on the language of the first.
One of the natural consequences for having hearing that doesn't always make the best use of available sounds is that you correct for that by leaning heavily on non-verbal communication. It means I have a degree of insight into non-verbal communication which others have never had to develop to the same degree. However, everybody uses non-verbal communication. And while we mentally underline verbal as, oh, so very important, the non-verbal often tells the wider backstory. Today is also Mother's Day, and a special thanks to you who are mothers or have served in that capacity at some stage in your life. Communication and information are critical to the child's long-term well-being. So most parents, and others close to the child, become far better at both reading and delivering non-verbal communication. Indeed, at the earliest stages, verbal communication is useless beyond being a carrier for the non-verbal and, of course, for teaching verbal communication eventually. A particularly attuned mother can tell a difference between types of cries, smiles, and so on. The child carries information on their need shortfalls quickly and somewhat obviously. The baby and mother are conversing a great deal in a non-verbal manner. Much of this is via instinctive gesture and tone. It continues right on through verbal communication. Kids are masters at fine-tuning what they decide to listen to. So a brush or teeth can bounce right off their disinterested armour. But few kids can wither the look for long. You know the look. Not even Garon can do that. Suddenly, the teeth get all brushed. What a miracle. Many people also have strong non-verbal communication with their pet, although some pets can understand a limited range of words as well, particularly their name. The pricked up ear, the excited bounce, the intense stare to the distance. It doesn't take too long to discover just how much animals love food. And so the very best alarm on earth is a cat who knows you're late for their breakfast. For people like me, there's an entire language, a hand and face-centred sign language called Auslan, which unfortunately my schooling never bothered to teach me. To learn it now is both hard work and expensive due to money that can be made in the interpretation business and employment. Auslan uses symbolic gestures, often based on cultural history, to form vocabulary, but it is rather simple vocabulary. It doesn't have anything like the breadth of the dictionary. The depth comes from non-verbal communication, from emotional gestures, and if you look carefully at people conversing in natural Auslan, you'll see they're saying almost as much with their facial expressions as they are with their hands. Those facial expressions underpin the conversation. Verbal communication also works together with emotional gesture and uses tone, pitch and emphasis to modify meaning of words, much as Auslan does. The term for this is paralinguistics. So if I can say, he is guilty, he is guilty, or he is guilty, the meaning changes and the contextual conversation might move in another direction entirely, despite the actual words being precisely the same. And then there is emphasis via repetition. Take this hadith from Islam. Abu Hurairah reported, a man asked the Messenger of Allah, peace and blessings be upon him, who is the most deserving of my good company? The Prophet said, your mother. The man asked, then who? The Prophet said, your mother. The man asked again, then who? The Prophet said, your mother. The man asked yet again, then who? The Prophet said, your father. Music is, of course, sound-based, but it has incredible power to express non-verbally, sometimes better than verbal could hope to achieve. Usually it works together with verbal lyrics, but instrumental music has a magic of its own. Music is so good at pulling on emotional strings. This is something of a theme with all nonverbal communication. It seems to lean on emotion so much more than words do. Forms of art also communicate non-verbally. It is said that a picture can paint 1,000 words, and some of our very best art just screams at you. Early film was silent. To many of you, that's obvious, but for the younger people, it's important to know that there was a silent film era which would only include a brief text on the screen if deemed absolutely essential. Despite the name, it was rarely truly silent, as live instrumental music would usually accompany the showing of the film. In these films, non-verbal communication, with those rare text verbals on the screen, had to convey the whole story, and sometimes the live instrument would also help. What's believed to be the first gay film, Algy the Miner, 1912, was a silent film. Now there are two common types of communicator, logical and emotional. Most lean heavily on one or the other. A few are poor at both, and a few are good at both. And some even go beyond into types of communication I have limited understanding of. I speak here of, for example, anti-communication, meta-communication, and presence. We are doing presence right here, communicating with each other, a degree of acceptance. Don't make quick assumptions about the gender or type of person who is an emotional or logical communicator. Many who appear logical outwardly are not, and vice versa. A much more reliable tell is how much they use and rely on nonverbal communication. Then there's feedback sounds, video games, and even your dear old operating system, and this one is an old one, is full of them. The start-up jingle, the sudden no, and it's sprinkled throughout human communication as well, such as a cry, a sigh, a squeal at a good deal, or a standing applause at a truly outstanding performance. Save that one for the musicians later. There will be a test. At the moment, one of the bleeding edges of nonverbal communication is in AI development, where they're attempting to read emotions from input like voice, video, or text. Emotional meaning is one of the key pivotal points of comprehension, where words and sentences might have different contextual meaning, and therefore it's critical AI learns it. I'd like to try a discussion now, a brief one, possibly a misnomer here, but a simple, more difficult thing than it appears. Pick a group of two or three, and if you could, each attempt to communicate something to the others without using a single word. You get more points for complexity. Now, granted, many of you are not as practiced at this, but you might have noticed how much better distance carries with it and how much work is needed to convey the idea without your usual standby. A common tool for detecting fibs is reading the verbal and nonverbal communication simultaneously with clarity, and where they don't match, there's a fib. This is useful, but not eminently. While many of us like to think that we hardly ever fib, people actually fib a great deal, and often on the pettiest subjects. Consciousness of these fibs varies from decidedly a big, fat whopper to no real awareness that you've uttered such tripe at all. So all you're going to read is a sea of fibs from what are basically humans, not necessarily bad people. How many mothers have vocally insisted their kid is a true angel who would never, or at times even put that self-same kid as a little devil? But real kids, you know, are much more the in-between. And this is just for when it's a fib. Sometimes the two communication modes cross wires, and they might appear to be discordant, but they're actually in agreement. What is a lot more useful than trying to spot the lying liars who lie, the proverbial finding hay in a haystack, is to filter the significant from the insignificant. That takes practice and mindfulness, but you already have the tools at hand. You just need to find where it matters most. I admit I struggled quite a bit putting this in the context of the seven principles, because really, I could make them slot in with any of them. But I think for this one, I'm going to go with the fourth principle, a free and responsible search for truth and meaning. We're free here to look for the rich layers of nonverbal communication, which can tell you so much more about what is meaningful and what is truth. The ancient Greek philosopher Plato wrote dialogues to teach his principles. He believed that oral communication is more powerful than written language. Perhaps nonverbal is the reason why. All I'm really doing here in this service is highlighting the value of both receiving and delivering nonverbal communication. You already do it. But I'm showing you that you can go a lot further if you want to. It's a treasure trove waiting there to be opened. And you won't know until you try.
We hope you've enjoyed this Expanding Horizons podcast. These podcasts are the intellectual property of the presenter. They can be used only with the express permission and appropriate acknowledgement of the presenter. This permission can be obtained by emailing admin@unitarianSA.org.au. Please feel free to leave a comment or visit us on Facebook or Twitter by searching SA Unitarians or by visiting our website at unitariansa.org.au.